Good evening, everyone. I hope that your worship is going well tonight and that God is blessing you with comfort and peace even in these last days. I'd like to meditate with you for a little while tonight on Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus' instruction here is part of his Sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And the subject of this sermon is the kingdom of heaven, and especially the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. The very first thing that Jesus says in the sermon is our verse tonight, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There are great truths revealed here in this simple verse, and we want to meditate on some of those truths tonight. I'm going to treat this in three points, even though this is not a sermon, but a meditation. The theme is the blessed poor in spirit, and the three points are number one, their poverty, number two, their riches, and number three, their blessedness. The blessed poor in spirit, their poverty, their riches, and their blessedness. In this text, Jesus uses the strongest Greek word to describe poverty when he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. It is a word that refers to a certain cringing and cowering and slinking and wretched poverty. The idea is that this one who is poor is utterly helpless in his poverty, and he completely lacks all things. And in this utter and complete lack, he does not walk around with his back straight and with his chin up, but he cowers before men. He is abject in his poverty. An illustration of this kind of poverty would be the poor man Lazarus in Jesus' parable in Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. There we read that Lazarus was a beggar, that he was laid at the gate of the rich man, that Lazarus was full of sores, that he desired to be fed only with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. We read that Lazarus also was attended to by the dogs who came and licked his sores. That's the kind of poverty that Jesus is talking about here. Another illustration of this poverty would be the beggar in Acts chapter 3, the lame man in Acts chapter 3, who would not even raise his eyes to Peter and John when they came by, but Peter had to say to him, look on us. And then the man who was cowering before them lifted up his eyes to see them. That's the strong word that Jesus uses for poverty. It's the worst imaginable poverty that one could think of. But when Jesus uses this word for poverty, he is not giving us instruction about earthly poverty. He means to teach us a spiritual truth about our spiritual poverty. And he indicates that when he says, poor in spirit. Jesus is not saying here that every physically impoverished man is blessed. There are many There are many physically poor who are unbelievers, just as there are many physically rich who are believers. Jesus is not here instructing us on physical poverty or riches, but is teaching us a truth about spiritual poverty. In fact, he's describing our spiritual condition before God, and that spiritual condition is utter helplessness. It is an absolute lack of all things. Spiritual poverty means that we have absolutely nothing that we can bring to God in order to obtain his favor, and we have nothing that we can bring to God in order to obtain his blessings. And that raises the question for us, why are we so spiritually poor? And that can be answered in a number of ways. In the first place, we are spiritually poor and have nothing that we can bring to God because we have nothing that God needs. There's nothing we can add to him, nothing we can provide him that he does not already have. Take all of our physical possessions, for example. God already owns all of them. They're all made by his hand. The cattle on a thousand hills belong to him. Psalm 50, verses 9 through 13. Or take our good works that we do. We cannot add anything to God by our good works because our good works themselves have come from God. In Ephesians 2 verse 10, we read this truth. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We don't give our good works to God, he gives our good works to us. Or consider even ourselves, our very lives. We cannot even give this to God because he already owns our lives. And we sing of that in Psalter 383, stanza 1. All that I am, I owe to thee. Thy wisdom, Lord, hath fashioned me. We are spiritual beggars because there is nothing we can give to God that he does not already own. A second reason that we are spiritual beggars is that in Adam we have squandered all of the gifts that were ours that God had given to Adam, so that we have nothing left of ourselves. God made Adam in covenant fellowship with himself. Adam squandered that and squandered it for us in him, so that apart from Jesus Christ, we have no covenant fellowship. God made Adam with true knowledge. Adam lost that by his fall, so that we have no true knowledge in ourselves. And the same for true righteousness and true holiness. Adam had those, but by his fall he squandered them, so that none of those are left for the human race as we are in Adam and by nature. We simply have nothing that we can bring to God because we lost it all in the fall. And then a third reason that we are so spiritually poor is that we daily increase our poverty through our sins. And that's perhaps an amusing idea, that we who have nothing can have even less by our sin, but that's the case. We incur new debt every day by our sins against Jehovah God and against his law, so that rather than climbing out of our debt, we are digging deeper into that spiritual debt. We are utterly impoverished spiritually. When Jesus says poor in spirit, though, he is not talking about mere spiritual poverty, but he is talking about those who know their poverty, who acknowledge their poverty, and who confess that poverty. There are many people, in fact, every single human being is spiritually poor before God. No human being, no mere human being, has anything that he can give to God, anything that he can use to pay down his debt. But most of the human race, being spiritually poor, does not acknowledge their spiritual poverty and does not confess it. We read of that in Revelation 3, verse 17, where God rebukes the church of the Laodiceans this way, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The spiritual condition of the Laodiceans was that they were wretchedly poor, but they didn't know it. They boasted of their own riches and their own goodness. The poor in spirit are those who are not only spiritually poor, but who know it and acknowledge it and confess it as sin before Jehovah God. The poor in spirit, therefore, are God's elect, whom God brings to know their own spiritual poverty, and whom God causes to cry out in that spiritual poverty to God. We read of that, the poor in spirit, in Psalm 40, verse 17, for example. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. We read that also in Psalm 69, verse 29. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. That raises the question for us, how do we come to know our spiritual poverty so that we confess it and acknowledge it before God? Well, this is a work of God to cause his people to know their spiritual poverty, and he causes us to know that spiritual poverty through his law. He declares to us what we should do and what we should be. What we should do is all of the things he has commanded, and not do all of the things he had forbidden. And what we should be is absolutely perfect, ethically and morally, before God. We ought to love Him with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. That law of God exposes our spiritual poverty. That law of God shows that we do not obey God even in the slightest in our own strength and by ourselves. That law of God exposes even the good things that we have done as polluted with sin. The law of God exposes the child of God so that he understands himself as spiritually poor, and he becomes poor in spirit. We read of that in Romans 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. How do we become poor in spirit? By the law of God, which exposes our sins. But we become poor in spirit through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ as well. In fact, God uses that gospel to open our eyes to our spiritual poverty. The law exposes our sin, but the gospel opens our eyes to that sin. And the gospel of Jesus Christ does that by showing us what are the true riches in Jesus Christ. We read of those true riches declared in the gospel in Ephesians 3, verse 8, where Paul says, regarding the power and grace of God, that it was given to him who am less than the least of all saints, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. There are true riches, but those riches are not found in us. Those riches are not our goodness or our possessions or even ourselves. The riches are the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. And when those unsearchable riches of Christ are proclaimed to the Church of Jesus Christ, we see our own abject poverty. We see how we have nothing. And God, by that gospel, makes us poor in spirit. It's a work of His grace, a gift of salvation, that He causes us to acknowledge this and confess it. This poverty in spirit, or this being poor in spirit, is God's gift of repentance to us who acknowledge before Him, our God, we have nothing. We are abjectly poor. We even cower before Thee in this poverty and know that if we are to have any riches, they must come from Thee alone. And God does give riches, true and abundant riches, to the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit, in fact, are spiritually rich. They are filled to bursting with the riches of Jehovah God. And they are rich by the grace of God who provides us with all things. We read of that in many of the Psalms. Isaiah 40, verse 17, again, for example. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. We read that also in Psalm 68, verse 10. Psalm 68, verse 10. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. Or Psalm 69, verse 33. For the Lord heareth the poor, and despiseth not his prisoners. Psalm 132, verse 15, where God declares, I will abundantly bless her provision, I will satisfy her poor with bread. And then Isaiah 55, verse 1, where God says to us poor in spirit, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. This is the grace of God, that He fills us poor sinners with the riches of His grace. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, in this first beatitude, Jesus says that our riches, as the poor in spirit specifically, is that we are heirs of the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that raises the question, what is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is that spiritual realm where God rules his people by his grace and his spirit. There is this earthly realm where God rules all men and rules the affairs of nations. He is the king over all. But the kingdom of heaven is that spiritual realm in our hearts where God rules us by his grace and by his spirit. Further, we can say about the kingdom of heaven that the kingdom of heaven is that spiritual realm where God's people enjoy covenant fellowship with Jehovah God through Jesus Christ. And we can say further about the kingdom of heaven that the kingdom of heaven is that place that is heaven, that real, literal, spiritual place that is heaven, as well as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth, made up of believers and their seed. All of this is the kingdom of heaven. And in the book of Matthew, we read of that kingdom of heaven often. We read of that in our own text, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We read of it in Matthew 8, verse 11. "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." We read of it in Matthew 3, verse 2, where Jesus preached repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And many other places in the book of Matthew and the rest of the Word of God, we read of this kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit are heirs of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that is amazing grace of God. We poor in spirit, who are absolutely emptied of ourselves, and who have nothing in ourselves to cling to, nothing in ourselves to bring to God, we poor in spirit are filled with the riches of heaven, so that we are spiritually rich. God bestows upon us himself, and God bestows upon us his own worth in his Son, Jesus Christ. The poor in spirit have this kingdom of heaven already now. Right now we are heirs of it. For God says, theirs is, in the present tense, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Right now, we have the riches of Jesus Christ abundantly in our hearts and all his blessings of salvation. And we look forward as the poor in spirit to inheriting all things in the day of Jesus Christ. For we not only have the kingdom of heaven now, but we are heirs to all things, as we read in Romans 8. Verse 17, "And if you are children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." How do we, as the poor in spirit, have the kingdom of heaven? How does it become ours? And here is the blessed gospel: through Jesus Christ alone. We have the kingdom of heaven through Christ because it is his kingdom. It is his kingdom by the gift of God. Colossians 1 verse 13 calls the kingdom of heaven the kingdom of God's dear Son. And we read of that in Hebrews 1 verse 8 as well. The kingdom is Christ's because the riches of the kingdom are Christ's, as we read in Ephesians 3 verse 8. The riches of Jesus Christ are unsearchable. Those are the riches of the kingdom that are bestowed upon us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as the King of his kingdom, went to the cross to bestow this kingdom upon us. As we read in Romans 8, verse 17, that if we are children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, hanging upon the cross, hung there as the King of the kingdom, as the superscription over his head was written, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." The Lord Jesus Christ, by his death, has brought to us all of the riches of the kingdom. And he gives us his Spirit, who bestows upon us those riches that our Lord Jesus Christ has earned, as we read in Romans 8, verses 15 and 16, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we have the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit, emptied of ourselves, are filled with Jesus Christ. And that makes us blessed. The word that Jesus uses here for blessed can literally be translated happy. And sometimes people shy away from that word happy because it might sound superficial. Sometimes people prefer the word joy or spiritual joy. But the word happy is a good word. Jesus uses that word. Happy, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The happiness of which Jesus speaks here is not the superficial happiness that the baubles and the distractions of the earth provide, but it is the true, deep happiness of one who is filled with Jesus Christ. It's the abiding happiness of being in the kingdom of heaven with God and enjoying all of his blessings. And this happiness is so deep and so profound that the circumstances of our life cannot take this happiness away. Even if we are persecuted and under great affliction, we still can be happy, even if we are hated for Jesus' sake. As Jesus would talk about a little later in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12, even if we are hated for Jesus' sake, we're still happy, we're still blessed, for we still are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And this abiding blessedness is so permanent because it does not depend on us who are changing and sinful and foolish. This happiness and this membership in the kingdom of heaven depends upon Jesus Christ. Being heirs of the kingdom of God's dear Son, we are happy. And here is the true happiness of the child of God. Poor in spirit, we are not pleased with ourselves, but heirs of the kingdom of heaven, we are pleased with Jesus Christ, our Savior. To God be the glory, and all praise be to our Savior. May God bless you in the rest of this Lord's day and strengthen you for this week to come.